Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
Bobby Rivers back at you with more Mocha. Mocha stands for Man of a Certain Hue and Age. We enjoy having you here with us for this fabulous podcast. And we are going to be talking about today, well, you know what? They made a big comeback. It was all over Twitter, all over social media. That cool quartet. Well, it's Will and Grace and Karen. Karen. And I forgot the guys.
It was Jack and Karen. Jack.
Oh, my God. Well, God, I just lost my gay card. How you doing? I'm Bobby Rivers, and I am here with the inimitable Keith Price.
Hey.
The man who covers Broadway like nobody else can. He's got a podcast, too, and he's going to tell you about it.
Yes, Keith Price's Curtain Call, available as a featured podcast on BroadwayWorld.com, as well as available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and SoundCloud.
I love that because, as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, you know, we've grown up watching film critics on local TV, on network news shows, on syndicated entertainment shows. We've watched people review Broadway theater on those same shows. And did you see a lot of Black or Latino people talking about film and theater? No.
Nope.
That's why we're doing it. We are putting some flavor into the fine arts talk mix. Again, right now we want to talk about TV because, well, Will and Grace was off the air for, boy, was it 11 years?
11 years.
And they're back. They're back. Now, Keith and I talked about the premiere comeback episode.
Yes.
And I personally, I love the four actors. They've still got it. I thought the script was weak. And I thought it felt dated because in the time that they've been away, we've got shows like Modern Family.
Yep.
We've got Aziz Ansari with the Master of None, mm-hmm. with the openly lesbian character played by an openly lesbian actress who is now an Emmy winner for comedy writing. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of new things that have come to TV in the time that Will and Grace went away. So I didn't see the second episode. Did you see it?
Yes, I did, Bobby. I did see the
episode. And how was it?
I'm going to say, unfortunately for me, it was heavy-handed and slightly weak, and very weak, actually. It was there. The episode was that Jack and, the A episode is Jack and Will have, they're older now, and they found themselves out meeting younger guys and what it was like to be dating a younger guy. And of course,
Jack and Will are out on the dating scene being older guys.
Right. And so Jack is basically obsessed because Karen has told him that he's kind of fat and he needs to change. So he's wearing like compression garments and doing all that stuff. And that was his ode to that. And then he meets this guy in the bar and then he tells the guy to meet him at his apartment. But of course he's got all this compression foolishness on him, so he can't get it off. And the guy doesn't know what he really looks like. And so he goes into the place and he does his makeup so that his face looks basically like Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard. No, in Sunset Boulevard. It was like that kind of craziness.
Kabuki-like.
Kind of almost crazy. And then Will is now dealing with whatever the age is, or Gen Xers. I don't know what they are now. The millennials. And
Is that the guy for the Broadway show from
Dear Evan Hansen? They had Ben Platt on, and he plays like a total millennial that's trying to figure everything out. And then there was a moment where he was basically like, I kind of like older guys because they turn me on, I get hot, and blah, blah, blah. And then Will is like, you know, you should know your history, because the guy was saying things that, you know, like, you know, you guys need to calm down. Your generation needs to do this. And it's like, we don't have those things. And so it was trying to have this moment where Will, like the guy says, well, you know, you either have a history lesson or we can do it. And then so he gives him a history lesson instead. And so he tries, and it was like supposed to be funny and it's supposed to be all of these things. And I was watching it and I thought to myself, well, I see they're trying to get a lesson across, per se.
Right.
But it's still covered in the same kind of stuff that show when it was the one of the few shows that had any kind of gay energy on it, that was the show back in the day. And it's not the show now. And so to watch it now, as they try to kind of recreate that energy and still do the same exact things that they were doing before, it's not entertaining to me.
You know what it sounds like? And again, I'm going to say that Keith and I aren't blaming the actors.
No.
We can't blame the actors for
hell
wanting
no.
work.
No, it's
but
work,
as far
honey.
As the writing, it's almost like the writers are like Norma Desmond's. It's like, there's no.
Well, you know what it was?
You're 20 years older, unless you try to act like you're 20 years younger.
Here's the thing.
They're not, it's a new generation now. Think about it. We've got totally out network news anchors.
Right.
Politicians, athletes, etc. And like I said, oh, come on, Jack has to pretend he's thinner. Look at Cam and Mitch.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That's not even an issue. You know, I think of Miss Thing on This Is Us, honey. You know, she ain't worried about her.
She's, oh, look at her.
You know what I'm saying?
Really?
And so.
For our heterosexual friends who may be listening right now, there is a community called Bears. And.
Yes.
And I hear that they're very popular.
I've heard a few things.
Waiting for my phone to ring.
I've just heard a few things myself there, Bobby. I didn't know of what you speak, but I've heard a few things.
There's nothing wrong with being a big, husky guy who is not always trying to make a fashion statement.
Right.
You know?
Well, like I said, though, when I watched it, you know what came to my mind? And I mean, I'm not even going to bother with the Will and Karen thing because it's too busy trying to make them Lucy and Ethel, and it's just whatever. But what I found very interesting was that it God, this is going to sound so awful, and you know we're going to get letters if people decide to write us at Mocha with Bobby Rivers at gmail.com, MOCHAA with Bobby Rivers at gmail.com. The mic headphone thing just cut out. I'm back.
All right, there you are.
I forgot what I said though. I was.
you were saying that people may write in. And,
yeah, they might write you know, if I they hope, decided to go hope, to.
We would love to get response from you people.
Yes, at Mocha, MOCHAA with Bobby Rivers at gmail.com. Mocha.podomatic.com. Subscribe today on iTunes. Anyway, so you gotta put it out there, Bobby.
We do.
But like it felt as if this was. Two white privileged gay men.
Oh boy.
Not happy about the fact that they've become older. Like all of us at some point do. And I was trying to think of it. I get what the lesson was about because it is a conversation that we should have. And like, I guess that's their way of trying to address the fact that they themselves are older by having right. these moments like this. But the behavior that they're trying to hold on to is the part that makes it so not interesting anymore to watch, if that makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
it's sort
mean.
Of like, I think, you know what they could have done, which would have been funnier, I guess, per se, maybe, is if they did Will and Grace, like they brought it back but did it in a different way. Like if they could have done it like, I hate to say like a Modern Family where you get to have a little bit more of a personal time with the individual characters and they know that they're being watched or treat the season like it's a documentary that somebody else is shooting. Maybe the little Latin guy that's working in the office is a documentarian. I don't know. But he didn't come back this episode either. We didn't see him again.
Oh, Lord.
You know, and but we did see the new maid who's British, kind of like Mrs. Naugatuck was. And she talks about dealing with Rosario, but we don't see Rosario. Okay.
You know what? I think like today, if they had a Latina maid who was there, you know, as sort of like the punchline, so to speak,
yeah.
they would have gotten heat about that.
Of course they would, because they would be accused of not recognizing that times have changed. Whereas I'm accusing them of recognizing that time has changed and they have not moved with it either. But it ain't got nothing to do with Rosario not being there. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Will just needs to, you know, get on the A train or the C train, go uptown to Harlem.
I think that's what's going to, that to me, if they were really trying to like get into the what's going on, that would be a real interesting thing to give one of them a person of color as a boyfriend, Latino, Black, Asian, whatever it is that they wanted to do, one, so that somebody can get more than a U5.
I would suggest that, you know, that I think the one Will dated, didn't Bobby Cannavale?
Yeah, they married. Hello.
You remember? Shows you that I didn't keep up with the series.
Yeah, but what happened was, of course, you know, that ended miserably, and that's how they started a new season without all the spouses. But
even if he gave him somebody disabled, you know, I mean, you know, make it like really diverse.
Something, but you know, the thing is that I know that what unfortunately they came back at the wrong time, in that they came back now, like I said, 20 years later or 11 years later, when shit has really changed for the face of LGBT. And I think that, especially in entertainment, especially in these moments, and I feel like they certainly should get their applause and they should get their kudos for being one of the first ones to really do it and make it a success. Because, you know, even after Ellen, they came after Ellen, but before Ellen's show, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you're right. So they happen to be right at the beginning of the whole trend that's happened since then. And so they were able to just kind of keep the stereotypes somewhat afloat, because we didn't have any, we weren't ever able to have moments of being real that people would pay attention to. And right. So this kind of gave the flash to, oh, look, there's gay people being entertaining. Well, what else do gay people do? And then that's where everybody else kind of came in right behind them, you know?
But, yeah, they really did. Every show had to have the festive, fabulous gay guy.
Exactly. Or something sassy and droll. You know, something. But what happened in the end, though, is like, because of that evolution, it's forced people to look at LGBT in America completely from a different perspective, in that we're all under the rainbow now. It's just not the white, fabulous gay guys anymore. It's like, they're there. They're there.
You may not see any Black and brown in the rainbow, but we are under it.
There's somebody around, you know, you got to get something cleaned up. Again, we have changed. Things have changed. And so I really wish that in the wave of this, it would reflect the change. But the way that they're trying to do it is still the same old way. Like, okay, you're going to bring Ben Platt in.
That's why I really wasn't interested in, you really want to do a Sex and the City 3 movie?
Yeah.
No.
Because I was mad at the Sex and the City 2 movie, because it felt like I was watching Kim Cattrall and her ridiculous behavior the whole time. And I thought, she hasn't learned anything since the cancer.
Well, exactly. And, you know, my point of saying all this about Sex and the City relates to Will and Grace. With Sex and the City, after I saw the first movie and then I saw the second movie, and I went, you know, you're not really kind of like moving on into today's world.
Right.
And that's how I felt about Will and Grace with the premiere episode. It still felt like 12 years ago before the final season.
Right. Right. And I mean, and they're not, and again, like I said, they're not bringing anything really new. They're not, it's a lot of the same. And then, you know, like I said, and the desire to want to be Lucille Ball, you know?
Yeah. With Karen and Jack, it's like, you know, it's the Lucy and Ethel.
Well, no, Karen, I'm talking about with Karen and Grace. They're doing, you know, they had a thing where there was in a shower where the water filled up to the top and they were in the water and they were trying to keep their heads.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes. And then people were like, you know, this is how people are on the internet. They were pasting a picture of the thing and then they would put like Lucy stomping grapes. And they were like, maybe she can go to Hollywood and meet famous people.
Maybe William Holden's dead? We can't book it for the show?
But they know what they'll do. They'll do it like Forrest Gump and like green screen her in. I'm just... But again, you know, Lucille Ball's been done. So we don't need to go back to that. We need to see what you guys have. Y'all have had 11 years to think about the idea of the show coming back, or at least the last two, once they got the green light, but at least the last two. And your choice to come back in this first round is to, like I said, I understand that you're trying to get people to get behind what was that energy, But right. what's happened is that that level of energy has dissipated now over the last 11 years. And the place that they held, and, you know, 1997 when they first started, is not necessarily the need. We don't have a need for that in 2017. We need to start having stronger voices and stronger representations, because we're dealing with people that now still refuse to treat us seriously. True. Primarily because of things like Will and Grace, if that makes sense. It's yes. not to say that they're the only ones, but they are also part of the that reason why people, the gay community, doesn't get taken seriously when shit goes down, because they're all busy wanting us to be like Will and Grace. And yeah,
you know,
we're not.
That's a really good point. And I'm going to mention this, and I don't mean this to be bitchy, but yeah, I have gone into auditions where, oh, the character is gay. He's automatically expected to be either Jack mm-hmm. or Carson Kressley.
Right.
And it's like,
if you're white. Not. If the character is supposedly white.
Exactly.
White.
Not every gay man acts like that. You know, you probably don't realize that you have gay men on the police force as firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Military. You know.
Military.
It's like gay people that will mess you up.
It's true.
Like, we have a range now. We have a long range.
Go back and look at the series The Wire. Look at Hap and Leonard mm-hmm. on cable.
I loved that show. Thank you for that recommendation. That was fabulous. I'm waiting for the second season now. Has it started?
It's going to start real soon. It has not started yet. They're in production. Isn't that wonderful?
I'm like a black man from a
tough black gay man, openly gay, a Vietnam veteran.
And I love the whole season. He never trusted that woman.
Oh, man. That was a good season. You folks, you got to look up Hap and Leonard.
Hap and Leonard.
And his best friend is a white guy who's not as tough, but they have got each other's backs. And TV hasn't given us much of the straight gay friendship. Oh, the actor's name, damn it, the black actor. I'm going to forget it right now.
You know what? We'll add him in post. I love those are those radio terms that I learned back when I was doing it, and I was like, what does that mean? And now I know what it means.
Because we do it all the time. Like, Michael K. Williams.
Yes.
Michael K. Williams, who was gay on The Wire.
Was he really?
Yes, you know, did you see The Wire?
I never saw it from beginning to end, and I know I should have.
God, and he was tough. It turned out his character was gay. You went, damn! Yeah, just try messing with him, because he was a badass character. So he played a gay character on The Wire. Mm-hmm. He's gay on Hap and Leonard. And he was the TV miniseries written by, not And the Band Plays On. It's like The Way We Are. It was like about LGBT.
Yes, the documentary, the docudrama thing they did on ABC. Yes.
Which I can't think of the name right now. Okay, I'm trying to pull it up because was in it. Okay, but he played a gay character in that too. So, you know, God bless GLAAD, but I thought, you know, is a guy like that getting a special award? Because, you know, there was a day when black actors would not play one gay character.
Much less three. That paycheck is cute, girl. That's all I'm saying.
Or they would play a gay character and not go all the way. Like, well, you know, the Will Smith story.
Right. With 6 degrees of separation when he wouldn't do the kiss. Yep. I remember.
Remember that? And I saw that in a movie theater and I went, oh, Lord, half the audience is black. I hope they don't act a fool at the kiss. But when the kiss came, and it's important to the plot, mm-hmm. you could tell that it was a sound effects kiss.
And that was
the audience booed.
Because it was lame. They probably booed because they were expecting a tongue kiss. But see, again, don't do those roles when you don't want to hold up to the character.
Really? Or call us.
We'll do it. Hell, I'll make out with anybody. All right, so we have to wrap it up because we have another show coming in the studio right afterwards. And it's always a joy because now that we have the magic of Skype, you guys can have Bobby Rivers whenever we can get him in here. As long as I can sit him down long enough for an hour, we got a show.
Please get us in here. Joe Lansdale, I think his name is, the man who created the characters, Hap and Leonard, was on Twitter. And I had to tweet him my appreciation of giving us those characters.
See, that's what we need, more of those. So, again, I want to love Will and Grace, but, you know, Hap and Leonard. Go see Hap and Leonard. You want to see an interesting gay character that has comic chops as well as a whole experience that's kind of fun of a journey to join on. I'm just saying.
Go to the first season because it's like country noir.
Yes.
That crime story and the redhead who was on Mad Men, Christina Hendricks,
yep.
worked it. She owned it.
She owned it.
Oh, man, that was a good first season.
Okay. So I've got to get this room set up now for this next group that's here. So, oh, Bobby, fabulous as per usual.
And per usual, love talking to you.
You too.
For keeping us out of the pool of the banal.
The banal. That's coming up next. All right.
Don't you know it. So thanks for listening to us here on Mocha, Man of a Certain You and Age. It is a podcast that we hope becomes a regular in your life.
Yes.
And we hope that we have a regular life, too.
Amen, honey. Amen.
That really. Right. Okay, so keep us in mind. Listen to us and call us for auditions. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Mocha.